Good morning, everyone. I'm Paul Valley. He's Ryan Blake. We're your host and co-host of the Bat Around. I've never said it that way before. I forgot what I was supposed to say. Welcome into the Bat Around. We're coming to you live on a beautiful and brisk Saturday morning in April. Today is April 6th, and you are joining us live on the Bat Around. And today, we have a lot to talk about. The Orioles off to a hot 5-2 start. The Norfolk Tides off to a hotter 6-1 start. We're going to get into all of that and more coming up on the today's show is brought to you by At. If you're craving that classic New York deli experience, look no further than the new Atman's Deli in Baltimore's Harbor Point. Corned beef piled high, hand-rolled bagels, and something different, a bar. Atman's Harbor Point. Go to atmansdeli.com for daily specials. Ryan, Orioles, they've won their first two series of the year, taking 2-3 from both the Angels and the Royals before spoiling the Pirates' home opener yesterday with a 5-2 victory over the Pirates to get to 5-2 overall. Grayson Rodriguez, he got the ball. First Orioles starter of the pitch into the seventh inning. He goes 6 3 innings, allows just the 6 hits, 2 walks, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts on the day. Ryan, Grayson has given up 3 runs this season, all 3 of them on solo home runs, which means that he's not putting a ton of people on base. When he does give up those home runs, he's minimizing damage here. Your thoughts on Grayson's start to the season?
I mean, he looks like an ace. He looks like the guy we've been waiting for Grayson Rodriguez to become, and that's so exciting. Since he came back from his option to AAA last year, I believe he has the 3rd best ERA in baseball at about 2.20. He's off to a 2.19 start this year. Look, solo homers aren't going to kill you. Obviously, it'll become a problem if it starts to happen with guys on base, but you can live with solo home runs. You'd like to see him keep the ball in the ballpark, but you know what? If he's given up 3 runs across 12 1/3 innings and they've all been on solo homers, then keep giving up solo shots if that's how you're going to allow runs to cross. It's fine with me. Look, even yesterday he comes out, and first of all, it's always fun when Baltimore gets to spoil a Pittsburgh sporting event. A little more fun when that's football, but it still feels good on the baseball side of things. Look, Grayson's been exceptional. He didn't have his good stuff yesterday. He had about 1.5 pitches working for him, and he still managed to strike out 7 across 6 1/3. Finished real strong. I think he struck out 5 of the last 6 batters he faced. So he grinded a little bit, was able to get into the seventh inning. I was a little surprised to see Hyde bring him out for the seventh inning. He was at 91 or 92 pitches already and gave up a first pitch solo home run and then struck out the next batter. So a little surprised to see him get that work, but I think that's good for him in the long term to stretch those innings out a little bit. Yeah, Grayson is as advertised. He's finally here. The Orioles have 2 aces with him and Corbin Burns. They might have 3 when Kyle Bradish comes back, assuming he's healthy. So it's a good time. It's a great time.
Yeah, man, and I was shocked to learn that Grayson Rodriguez had come back out for the seventh because I was at work when the game started, and I was going to try to leave the office around 5:15. I was on the call. I was on the phone with a realtor, and then a client called me, and I spent an hour on the phone with him. And by the time I got off the phone with him, it was already after 6:00, and I was like, "All right, I'm gonna head home." And it was the end of the 6th inning when I walked out the door. So when I got into the car, it was 4-2, 5-2 at this point instead of 4 or 5-1. And I was like, and Danny Coulomb was on the mound. So I thought Danny Coulomb had given up a home run. It was only when I checked the box score later last night that I saw it was Grayson Rodriguez. Because I assumed at 92 pitches through 6 innings, there was no chance he was coming back out for the 7th inning. But Hyde trusted this guy, put him out there. He got an out, they gave up the home run. You said it beautifully. The Orioles have not one but 2 aces, and we saw this start last year in the second half when Grayson Rodriguez came back from the minors after the All-Star break, and he had a 2.58 ERA down the stretch. Had that little hiccup in the postseason, but you know that left a sour taste in his mouth. And you know he and Corbin Burns both pitching without their best stuff, clearly without their best stuff, each of the last 2 games, and they gave the Orioles exactly what they needed. Pitched deep into the ball game, gave up just the 1 and 2 runs each. And really went out there and dominated. It was 2 runs, right? 2 runs for both of them.
And they And we'll talk about Burns in a little bit when we get to more of the starting rotation. But yeah, Burns did not have his good stuff against the Royals on Wednesday night. Gave up a lot of hits. A couple of those maybe should have been plays made by Mateo in center field. But look, he gave up 9 hits and still only gave up 2 runs in 5 2/3 innings. Yeah. When you've got a guy, I mean, that's what aces do. When they are not on their game, they still find ways to produce results. And that's exactly what Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez have done so far.
Yeah, they've looked every bit the part. And look, Tyler Wells, you know what? We're not going to get into that because we have a segment later in the show specifically for the rotation. I'm not going to steal the show's thunder. So we're going to move on to the offensive side of things. And there's been some offensive standouts. Like, look, the Orioles scored 24 runs their first 2 games of the season. They had a couple of ball games that they lost 4-1. They realistically should have been swept by Kansas City if Kansas City had, you know, anybody in their bullpen. You know, Will Smith's a good reliever, but maybe he's not a closer. He has not looked good for Kansas City to this point. But the Orioles, they didn't get swept. They won 2 of 3. We're not going to say woulda, coulda, shoulda. They could have won. They did win, right?
Good teams find a way.
Exactly. Gunnar Henderson, 910 OPS. Adley Rutschman, 433 on base percentage. And thanks to friend of the show, Dylan Atkinson, Adley, he had not struck out in his first 25 plate appearances this year and then strikes out in his first at bat yesterday after Dylan made the world aware of this. And then he struck out a second time yesterday. And so thank you, Dylan, for just ruining that for all of us. Dylan's fault, but he was going to strike out. He'll probably strike out 80 more times this year, you know, but it's a hell of a way to start the year. First 25 plate appearances without a strikeout. Ryan Mountcastle leads the team with 3 doubles. Anthony Santander leads the team with 9 RBIs. You know, we had a couple of walk-off wins in there. Jordan Westberg, who I absolutely love. I absolutely love Jordan Westberg. I think that dude was just born producing runs. Walk-off 2-run homer in the series opener on Monday night. James McCann, walk-off 2-run single in the series finale Wednesday night against the Royals. Is there a team that has a better 1-2 combination at catcher than the Baltimore Orioles?
I really don't think so. McCann's the perfect guy to spell Adley when he needs a day off his feet. And, you know, to come through, Westberg and McCann both hitting from the 8 spot in the lineup, producing walk-off hits for the Orioles. You can't quantify what that means to a team to be able to get that production from the bottom of the lineup. Now, the bottom of the lineup hasn't been exceptionally good this year, and we'll point to a few of those guys as we go on in the show. But to get those big hits from those two guys that late in the order is pretty cool.
No, it's definitely awesome. It definitely is helping the Orioles get to this 5-2 record. And then you've got a guy like Colton Cowser. Made his first opening day roster out of spring training. He is a rookie. On the opening day, he got a pinch hit appearance and he doubled. He's 5-for-10. He's appeared in every game, but he's only started twice. But that Tuesday night game where the Orioles, was it Tuesday night or was it Wednesday night? Wednesday night game, right? That he started. It was a game with a 5-hour rain delay. It was Tuesday night. Yeah. It was Tuesday night because the Orioles had 3 hits and he had 2 of them. Westberg had the other hit. And they lost that game 4-1.
That's right.
Yeah. Colton Cowser's been 5-for-10. And yeah, he came up in a big moment with on Wednesday night and he struck out in that big moment against the lefty. It makes you nervous that Brandon Hyde isn't going to give him the opportunity to face lefties in that big situation just because.
We saw that yesterday. He pinch hit for Cowser against the lefty in the 7th inning with Austin Hayes, who was sick and late to the ballpark, not in the starting lineup. And I don't understand how Cowser is supposed to improve against lefties if he's not going to be allowed to face them. And to pinch hit for him in it was a 1-run game with a sick player who you're going to go put in the outfield in, what was it, 35 degrees in snow. I didn't understand that. Especially because that spot in the lineup you knew was going to come up again, and lo and behold, it was against the righty. You probably want Cowser in there. I don't know. I think Hyde's a little quick to pinch hit.
One of my biggest areas of need or areas of fault that I have with Brandon Hyde is how much he matches up. Like, and they showed it a couple of days ago. The Orioles match up just about more than any other team in baseball. And it's sometimes to their detriment. Not saying, you know, like He let Kowser hit in a big situation the other night, and he struck out. And I think that was more nerves than it was the fact that he was facing a lefty, because you saw the first pitch that he swung at. He was looking to swing at a first pitch fastball, and he got a breaking ball, and he looked foolish on it, you know? So I think that was more kind of letting the moment be bigger than him in that situation than it was the fact that he was facing a lefty. But, you know, we're not going to, you know, try and find fault here with a team that's 5-2, because there's enough things that we're going to talk about today with a 5-2 ball club that, you know, frankly, they're good. They're 5-2, but they could be 4-5, or not 4-5. You know what I mean. They could be 4-3, something
3-4.
So
yeah.
But overall, it's a good start to the Orioles season, and yet you look down at Norfolk, and there's a ton of guys down there that are mashing. That team is averaging through seven games almost 11 runs per game. Almost, it's over 12.
It's over 12.
Oh, you know what? Because now they've played. 12. They played seven games, and I left out the sixth game where they scored, what, 9 runs? Yeah.
Yeah, they've scored double-digit runs in 5 out of 7 games, including a 26-run outburst. Yeah, the Tides, I mean, and we'll get to this, but they have 9 guys with an OPS over 1,000.
They absolutely unbelievable. Do. A lot of guys getting some big-time stakes down there when their opportunities present themselves. And if the opportunity presents itself to you to get a big-time stake, you're going to want to do that at Ruth's Chris. Whether you're celebrating a special milestone, entertaining clients, or simply enjoying a night out, count on Ruth's Chris to deliver to you the finest steaks, the best service, and a level of hospitality that has made Ruth's Chris one of the most revered names in steak since 1965. Make your reservations now at RuthsChris.com. So, Ryan, Orioles are 5-2. They're a half game back of the Yankees for first place in the American League East, which I hate talking about standings this early in the season. Somebody completely crapped on me when I was telling people to pump the brakes on calling Lamar an MVP candidate after week 2 in the NFL. And I got told he won the MVP, but it was like, it's week 2. You know, let's talk about this in like week 8, right? And it's the same thing with Major League Baseball. Sure. When you are 7 games into a Major League season, talking about the standings, it's not like you don't really need to do that. Like last year, the Rays started out 13-0. The Orioles were 6 games back, and the Orioles won the division. So it's kind of weird to talk about standings this early in the season. It's weird to talk about areas of need, areas where the Orioles are wanting in a 5-2 start to the season, but they're there. And they're magnified because of what's going on down in Norfolk, Ryan. And, you know, I guess I'm kind of a polarizing guy on Twitter. You either love me or you hate me on there. And I got a lot of hate this past week because Austin Hayes is batting, what, 102? Cedric Mullins is batting 182. Ramon Arias has 1 hit in 16 at-bats. You know, Tony Kemp's 0-for-5. And what's his name? Jorge Mateo is like 2-for-9. These are guys that, one, the Orioles really didn't need to bring in Tony Kemp, right? They didn't need to bring him in. For some reason, they want that veteran left-handed hitting middle, like second baseman to bring in every year. They just do it. But they didn't need it with Jorge Mateo on the team or Ramon Arias on the team. Ramon Arias, if it weren't for a big spring, I'm not sure he would have made the team. Because the Orioles have so many better options in their system already who are major league ready. And then you look down at the minor league system and you see Jackson Holliday slashing, hitting .355 with 1152 OPS, 2 home runs, 8 RBIs. Kobe Mayo hitting .394 with 1141 OPS, 2 home runs, 6 RBI. Connor Norby hitting .364 with 1148 OPS, 3 home runs, 9 RBI. And those are just the infielders. That's before we even talk about Kyle Stowers with his 6 home runs and 18 RBIs and Heston Kerstad with his 6 home runs and 25 ribeye steaks through 7 games. The major league record for RBI through the first 7 games of a season since 1901. Pat Burrell in 2005 for the Phillies and Chris Davis in 2013 for the Orioles. At 17. Heston Kerstad is hitting home runs every day. So is Kyle Stowers. And they both have more RBI through the first seven games than any player in the history of Major League Baseball. Now, of course, they're doing it at AAA, but this is still professional baseball. This is still AAA. And the Orioles have five guys that bat at the top of their lineup, the first five in their lineup, every single night down in Norfolk that are absolutely slaughtering baseballs. It's video game numbers. They're making a mockery of AAA pitching. And why is that the case, Ryan? Because they are all major league players playing at AAA. They don't need to be there. The only reason that they are there is because the Orioles have veterans at their positions. Connor Norby, he plays second base. He's not going to be here to play. He might be, but you wouldn't think he'd be here to play second base ahead of Jackson Holliday, which is why he started every game in either left field or right field. Kobe Mayo, he's probably going to be the last guy called up, and he's not going to start over Jordan Westberg at this point, and he doesn't have the versatility to play all over the infield. You have these guys down there, and then Jackson Holliday is Jackson Holliday. Buster Olney was on Ryan Ripken's podcast the other night, and he was talking about a poll that he did about who the top young player is under the age of 23 in all of baseball. And the guy that was mentioned the most is Jackson Holliday. You know, not Julio Rodriguez, not Corbin Carroll, not Gunnar Henderson, who he said was also mentioned a lot. Jackson Holliday. He should be here. He's setting the table every night. How many runs does that guy have scored? He scored five runs the other night. He scored three runs last night. He's got to have 15 to 20 runs scored at
he
this
has,
point.
Jackson Holliday has scored 16 times in seven games.
16 runs scored in seven games. He had three walks last night. After he only had three walks all spring training, he had three walks just that last night.
He has eight on the season in seven games.
Exactly. He is having an amazing start to the season. He's doing everything that he hasn't. The crappy thing about it, Ryan, is he's had five plate appearances against left-handed pitchers. He has a home run, a double, and a walk, I believe. And that's the only plate appearances that he has against left-handed pitching to this point. And the reason that we're talking about this, Ryan, is because we were so excited coming into this year. The vibes around this team are incredible. But one of the reasons we were excited about this, about coming into this season, is because we expected to see at least half of these guys on the major league roster to start the year. And instead, we got Ramon Urias. We got Tony Kemp. We got Jorge Mateo, who I think we expected to be on the roster. And he's not playing that much, but he started in center field the other night. The day before that, Ryan O'Hearn started in right field. Do you remember on this show when we said at no point should any infielders be starting in the outfield for the Orioles? We specifically mentioned Ryan O'Hearn.
Yeah, I remember it well. You said if Ryan O'Hearn makes a start in the outfield or appears in the outfield at all, something has gone terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And game five of the season, Ryan O'Hearn is in right field, and it was clear that he did not belong there. There was a ball hit over by the ground screw cage that probably should have been caught, that he looked like he had no idea where the wall was. It ended up, I think it was an RBI double. But yeah, it was a triple. And then it was clear that Mateo isn't comfortable in center field yet either. Mm-hmm. Two misplays in the first inning against the Royals on Wednesday night just didn't look comfortable out there. It's hard to defend when you have so many outfielders who are ready to be major league regulars and you're putting mm-hmm. infielders out there because you want them in the lineup. It's almost incomprehensible.
It absolutely is. And look, I was somebody who was championing trying Jorge Mateo in the outfield.
Yeah, I'm fine with it as an experiment. He shouldn't be starting out there.
He shouldn't be starting in center field. And I was okay with it. But I've seen him play two major league games the last 2 years in center field, and he has made they aren't considered errors, but balls that should have been caught that he did not catch.
Yeah.
And the triple in right field that O'Hearn didn't catch, twice this season already, we've seen Anthony Santander catch balls in basically the exact same spot.
Yeah.
So if Anthony Santander is catching those balls, then those balls are catchable.
Yeah.
Right. That ball was absolutely catchable. You have Calzer out there. You have Santander out there. That triple gets called. Now, look, the Orioles, no, they lost that game. They lost that game 4-1. So it didn't really make that big of a difference because that ended up scoring the fourth run, and they lost 4-1 anyway. But the fact of the matter is you have Colton Calzer on this team. You have Heston Kjerstad and Kyle Stowers absolutely pulverizing baseballs on a nightly basis in AAA. Stowers hit 12. He hit 7 home runs in spring training to lead the majors. He's got 6 home runs down in the minor leagues to lead all of leads all of professional baseball in home runs.
Tied with Kjerstad.
Yeah, tied with Kjerstad. These guys are major league hitters. And maybe, you know, we saw a 2-for-32 start to the season for Kyle Stowers last year. And maybe he will never be as prolific a hitter at the big league level. Maybe his ceiling is 240 with 25 home runs. But you got to give it a shot.
Yeah.
You got to give it a shot, especially. And look, Austin Hayes is going to get hot. He will get hot and he will carry a team offensively. We all know it. And then he'll fall off a cliff because this dude gets hurt more than anybody I've ever seen, but he plays through these injuries. It's because he plays so damn hard. But the fact remains that right now, he's hitting 102. He has 2 walks on the season. Every at-bat that seemingly recently is either a strikeout or he rolls over to the left side of the infield. Cedric Mullins, he has 2 home runs and he has a double. And that's about it. Every other at-bat is a weak infield or shallow outfield pop-out. The fact of the matter is you have guys at the minor league level who are banging down the door. Cedric and Hayes, they're going to figure it out. They're proven big leaguers with proven track records. They're going to figure it out. Their roster spots are safe for now. When I say that these guys in the minor leagues, I believe, are better, and I'm not saying call everybody in the minor leagues up right now. That would be absurd. You're not going to overturn half of your lineup. You're not going to do that. But these guys deserve to be here sooner than later. What they're doing in AAA, yeah, it's AAA pitching. It's still AAA pitching. And they're putting up video game numbers. Somebody should be here to replace Ramon Arias. I don't care if it's Connor Norby. I'd love it to be Jackson Holliday. Frankly, Connor Norby has earned it more to this point just because of what he's done the last 3 years at the minor league level. He's got nothing left to prove. If you want to call up one of those two guys, I don't care who it is, to replace Ramon Arias, by all means do it. But something's got to happen with Arias. He was a below average hitter last year. He had a 98 OPS plus last year. And the glove has not been as good the last season and this season as it was when he won the gold glove. This year, he got his first hit yesterday in the season's 7th game. He's like 1-for-18. You've got to do something at some point. And I think that's at some point is fast approaching because the talent at the minor league level right now, it's way too hot to be ignored.
Yeah, and Arias should not have... He has 18 plate appearances through 7 games. He shouldn't be eclipsing double-digit plate appearances in a week span. I really believe that to be the case. Tony Kemp shouldn't be on the roster at all. I think you have to call up one of these infielders and move Arias to the bench. Now, these outfielders, Cedric Mullins and Austin Hayes, it's no secret that they've struggled pretty mightily, you know, beginning of this season, spring, end of last year. It hasn't been pretty for them. And what's exceptionally glaring for me when I look at those two guys is their spray charts. And anything of Mullins that's on the left side is a pop-up. Everything else, every ball he hits well is pulled. Same with Austin Hayes. And even when he's pulling the ball, he's beating it into the ground and rolling over to shortstop far, far too often. I will say, and I wanted to all week – I planned to give Mullins a really hard time on this show, and then he goes out and makes a diving catch in center field yesterday and homers in his final at-bat to give the Orioles some insurance. And I'm like, all right, I can't do that now. So I sat back and I was like, all right, let me look at this objectively. Cedric Mullins and Austin Hayes, despite the outfielders that we believe are ready in Kyle Stowers, Heston Kjerstad, Kowser to get regular plate appearances at the big league level. Mullins and Hayes have earned themselves a long leash. I don't think we can deny that. Mullins had a 30-30 season just 3 years ago. Austin Hayes was an all-star last year. Granted, Hayes hasn't put together a full season of all-star level productivity. And yes, Mullins' offense season. With that said, they are the veterans on this team who have been here since 2017, 2018, and they have earned regular playing time at the big league level. Now, with these guys beating down the door, Heston Kjerstad's batting 531 at AAA, which is, first of all, that's great to see because of the five Norfolk guys we've been talking about, Kjerstad had the worst case coming out of spring training. He had the worst spring of those five guys. Yep. The other four have picked up right where they left off in the spring. They all were great down in Sarasota. Kjerstad, not so much, and he's been off to the hottest start down in Norfolk. Despite these guys beating down the door, I don't think I wanted to say, but I don't think it's fair to say that Mullins or Hayes should be relegated to a bench role. No, now,
I don't think they should either.
If you want to move Hayes into a more platoon role with Kowser, I'm a little more receptive to that, especially while Hayes tries to find his groove. And like you said, Paul, he always starts the season slow and then figures it out. And he's gonna go on a run. He's too talented of a ball player not to. And I love Austin Hayes, and I love Cedric Mullins. But, man, it's hard to watch them struggle in the lineup day in and day out when Kjerstad is OPSing 1744 in his first seven games at Norfolk. Kyle Stowers right there with him, 1304 with, you know, matching the seven home runs, a 943 slug. Kjerstad's slug, by the way, is 1188. That is
never see that. I don't think that's even video game numbers.
I can't do that.
Barry Bonds didn't do that.
No.
Like, that's insane.
I can't do that on rookie mode on MLB The Show with Gunnar Henderson. It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's so hard because I want to say let the kids play, and I want to say bring up Stowers, bring up Kjerstad, put them in the lineup every day because I do think they deserve that. But as much as it's been frustrating to watch Mullins and Hayes lately, I don't think you can just take their spots away quite yet.
And I'm not calling for that.
Yeah.
When I put up this post that got a lot of traction, it was a thread of, you know, I don't like criticizing the team. I hate doing it. It gives me anxiety. And I know that I'm going to get absolutely pummeled on social media by half the people that see it. I know that. And I don't like it, man. It sucks. It feels like crap. But I also like, and maybe it's because I don't have anybody at my house when I'm watching the games to really sound off to about how I'm feeling about what's going on with the team offensively. But like, and I know that I have an Orioles community where most people agree with me. Like I know that most people are going to agree with me. When I put that up there and I said, I love Hayes and Mullins, Kjerstad and Stowers are better. I'm not saying that the Orioles need to go out and just DFA. Somebody said that they're like, you can't just DFA Hayes and Mullins. I'm like, I never said to do that. You can't DFA them.
No.
At some point, there needs to be a hard look at trading them. But their value isn't exactly high right now.
Yeah.
They both finished last year terribly. They both were terrible in the playoffs. They both were terrible in spring training. And they're both terrible to start this year. I don't think they're terrible overall.
No.
You know, but and I don't think that they deserve to have their roster spots taken away. All I'm saying is those guys are banging down the door in AAA, and rightfully so. And here's the other thing about it. If they were just – if all the guys we're talking about AAA were just having decent starts of the year, 260, 270, a home run here, a couple doubles there, a handful of RBIs, we're probably not being as vocal about this as we are. What they're doing down there, I haven't looked up. It's got to be historic. I cannot imagine another team in the history of professional baseball at any level has gotten off to this kind of a start. They're averaging 12 runs a game. They've got like 16 more home runs than the next closest team at any level. Heston Kjerstad is slugging. Not OPSing, slugging almost 1,200. Like, this isn't stuff that should be ignored because the team won 101 games last year and they obviously know what they're doing. Yeah, we know. And we want to win a World Series. And when your starting left fielder and starting center fielder have combined for 6 hits in 7 games, that's not going to get it done. And again, they're going to get hot. I know they're going to get hot. It's going to happen. I know it's coming. I'm just saying, you can't, if we're a month into the season, if we're a month and a half into the season, and Hayes is hitting 220 and Mullins is hitting 230, and these guys are down there hitting 375 with 12 home runs each, something's got to happen. Yeah. Something's got to happen. They've earned it. These guys, frankly, there's not a player on that roster right now except for maybe Holiday and definitely Mayo that needs to be a AAA. Yeah. There's not another player down there that amongst who we've talked about that needs to be down there.
Agreed. And Connor Norby, look, I love Connor Norby. I think he's going to have a good, long, successful career.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting to the point where I hope the Orioles trade him because
they have to.
He has been rotting away at Norfolk. This is his third season with the team, full season last year and part of 2022. And he's not, I don't think he's next in the pecking order. I don't see him, even if they decide that he's going to beat Holiday to the majors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it would happen. I don't know if he's ever going to appear in the majors for the Orioles. I hope he does. I would love to see it. But for his sake, I'm getting to the point where it's like, put him on another team. Give him the Joey Ortiz treatment. Send him off. Let him thrive somewhere else.
It won't
break my heart. I love the guy, but he deserves, like, from a human perspective, this guy has earned every bit of an opportunity at the big league level, and I don't think he's going to get it in Baltimore.
His hit tool is really good.
Yeah.
He hit over 400, I think, 2 years in a row in college. He's done nothing but produce in his professional career. The thing that's holding Connor Norby back is he only plays second base, and he doesn't do it exactly well. And he doesn't play a poor second base, but he's not an elite defender.
Right.
And he's just getting his feet wet in the corner outfield, and he's not going to play the out. He might with Brandon Hyde, but he's not going to play the outfield over Calzer, Santander, Kerstad, Stowers, Mullins, or Hayes. He's just not going to.
Right.
You know? And while we're at it, Ryan O'Hearn blocked me on Twitter. I don't know if he did it a long time because I've never said a bad thing about him until this year. But he blocked me probably two nights on Tuesday night when I was ranting a little bit. And I don't have anything against Ryan O'Hearn. Mountcastle is an everyday player at first base, and his defense has been, like, gold glove worthy.
Oh, yeah.
And O'Hearn, yeah, he mashes righties. Mountcastle mashes everybody since he came back from his bout with vertigo. All I'm saying is that a 30-year-old who has two outlier seasons at the beginning of his career and in this most recent season with 5 mediocre to bad seasons in between shouldn't be somebody that's blocking an up-and-coming prospect who has a potential to be a star. That's my point. If it got me blocked and then he gave me a big FU with a home run to start the game yesterday, I'll take it. Whatever, man. Go hit 40 home runs. I hope you do. I have nothing against Ryan O'Hearn. This isn't Ryan McKenna crap. Ryan O'Hearn is a good player. He's a good hitter for the Orioles last year. He's a 30-year-old guy who is OPS well below even OPS plus well below even 80 the majority of his career. That's all I'm saying. We got to get to a commercial here. Royal Farms Rofo Chicken is cheaper by the dozen. Right now, get a 12-piece mix for just $20. Plus, if you upgrade your Royal Farms Rewards account to include Rofo Pay, you'll save 15 cents per gallon on gas through June 30th. Stop by your neighborhood Royal Farms today for these and other great offers. Ryan, I hope I didn't cut you off there. You got something to soft toss with, though.
Yeah, I'll jump into soft toss in just a second, but I'm going to say one last thing about Norfolk just to kind of put in perspective what their offense has done. Mm-hmm. Their pitching has allowed 9.4 runs per game through their first 7. Nearly 10 runs a game they are giving up. They are 6-1 because of their offense. That is unheard of. Anyway, soft toss. I didn't script anything because I kind of just wanted to talk from the heart here. And I won't spend a ton of time on it. the Oakland Athletics will no longer exist, I guess, for all intents and purposes, following this season. They're moving to a minor league stadium in Sacramento. They're going to share that stadium. They're going to share a home stadium with the Sacramento Rivercats, the AAA affiliate of the San Francisco Giants. Their owner, John Fisher, had a press conference to welcome the team to Sacramento, in which he said he's excited for stars around the league, not just on the Athletics, but stars like Aaron Judge to hit home runs out of that ballpark, which is basically your owner coming out and saying, I'm excited for other teams to crap on our pitching at the stadium, which I thought John Angelos was bad. John Fisher should be nowhere near a baseball team. He's another dad's money owner. And to the fans of Oakland, look, I've been to the Coliseum. Not a great stadium. There were some cool parts of it. They have a little, like, within the stadium, you can still kind of go outside the main gates, and there's like a whole food truck set up. They have some really cool murals in the stadium. I walked through the club level. They got ping pong and pool tables and stuff for the fans to use. Look, Oakland fans, I was at that game. It was a Rangers Athletics game, and I was just kind of on a mini tour of stadiums because I was trying to knock a few more off my list. And I was the asshole wearing a Texas Rangers t-shirt and an Oakland A's cap because that was my wardrobe, and I was just there to enjoy the baseball. I wasn't rooting for either team, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't the guy with the Orioles cap at a game that the Orioles weren't playing. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind being that guy, but I had a Russell Wilson Texas Rangers jersey. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to be long-winded about
That's
this.
That's strange.
Very strange. I don't know. It was an impulse buy years ago when he was in their minor league system.
Rangers country. Let's range.
Look, the Athletics fans are some of the best fans I've ever met. I have a couple friends who are A's fans, and this is just absolutely crushing for them. So all I wanted to say with this soft toss is, A's fans, I feel for you. I empathize with you. I'm sorry that this is happening to you. And that's really all there is to it. I don't want the A's to move from Oakland, but it's a foregone conclusion at this point. Those fans do not deserve that. They have been outspoken about how much John Fisher and Dave Cavall, I think is their GM, have broken down this team and this fan base into a microcosm of what it once was. Those fans, even if it was a small number of fans that were showing up to their games, they were loud. They were passionate. They had instruments out in right field that they were banging throughout the game. A really cool atmosphere, even if it was only 6,000 or 7,000 fans. They do not deserve this. And A's fans, I'm sorry. And I hope you can find it in your heart to still be a fan of Major League Baseball despite all of this.
I cannot believe that a Fisher sent down an estuary. I had to say it. They sent down Esteri Ruiz after hitting .417 in the opening series and leading the American League with 67 stolen bases last year, and they sent him down to AAA to make room for Tyler Nevin. Like, it sucks for Oakland fans because they're losing their team for no reason other than they have a terrible owner.
Yeah,
that is the only reason that they're losing their team.
And shame on Major League Baseball. I don't know what they have in their power to put a stop to something like this, but you'd think they could have intervened at some point.
They want a team in Vegas.
Yeah.
They want a team in Vegas. I don't know
this
why.
This isn't the way to do it.
And I don't know why you can't just do that with expansion that we all know is coming.
Yeah.
We all know expansion is coming. And by the way, let's put a baseball team in the middle of the freaking desert. Like, I know you got a team in Arizona and you're going to be playing in a dome. I get that. But, like, people don't go to Vegas to watch baseball games. People go to Vegas to gamble and get drunk. You know, like, I don't know. It's worked for the NFL, I guess, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And, you know, I hope that one of the expansion teams is the Oakland Athletics because they're one of the proudest franchises in the history of baseball. The all-time stolen base leader and greatest leadoff hitter of all time is first and foremost recognized as an Oakland Athletic. The Bash Brothers, the dynasty that they had in the 70s and then again in the late 80s. And to have that team now not be in existence after this season, like, they're not, yeah, the A's will be in existence, but they're not the Oakland A's, and that's exactly where they belong. They belong in Oakland, and it's heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking, and, you know, the things that we were nervous about in Baltimore are actually happening to the Oakland Athletics and their fan base, and it just really sucks.
Maybe while we await this expansion that we know is coming at some point in the future, they take this time to make some serious renovations to the Coliseum and, you know, put in a case for an expansion team to come out, or even a team, even the A's, to move back and, you know, put a new expansion team in Vegas. I don't know. I don't know if there's a solution here for Oakland fans, but I really hope that we can find one.
Yeah, me too. And also, if you or a loved one has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit helpmygamblingproblem.org for free confidential services. There's no segue there, no transition. It's a read that I had to get in.
Speaking of no segues, I meant to mention, we've gotten a few comments coming in. Keep them rolling at the end of the show. We will certainly acknowledge some of these comments and provide our takes.
Absolutely. It feels like we started this show 10 minutes ago and we're 41 minutes in. Like, this has been the fastest show we've had, in my opinion. Want to get into the Orioles rotation. We're going to have to do this a little bit expediently or expeditiously. Corbin Burnes, as advertised, 11 2/3 innings pitched, 10 hits, 3 earned runs, 0 walks, 14 strikeouts. It did not have his best stuff by any stretch of the imagination the other night, and still went 5 2/3 innings and allowed just 2 earned runs. He gave up 9 of his 10 hits in that game, which was a career high, 9 hits allowed, and he still only allowed 2 runs, kept the Orioles in that ball game. Grayson, we already talked about him. He looks like he's becoming an ace. 12 1/3 innings pitched, 10 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, 16 strikeouts to lead the team. Tyler Wells, his first outing, he allowed 4 runs, 3 earned on 6 hits in the first inning in a third. And then he didn't allow another base run the rest of the outing, retiring 14 straight. Dean Kramer, I looked at his stat line, Ryan, and I was surprised to see, despite the fact that he allowed 3 runs in the third inning on a walk and 2 home runs, he only allowed 1 other base runner. It was a base hit the rest of the game while pitching into the sixth. He's got a 0.85 whip. He's got a 5-1 strikeout to walk ratio. Like, he actually pitched really well aside from that stretch in the third inning. Tyler Wells and Dean Kramer. I've always had confidence in Tyler Wells. Dean Kramer has put together back-to-back solid seasons, and it's a fairly decent start to this year. Do we get to stop doubting him?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're kind of in a position where we have to, based on the current state of the rotation and the question marks around Bradish and Means and the fact that we don't really have anybody at AAA knocking down the door. Now, Cade Povich and Chase McDermott have been all right. They have not really contributed to the onslaught of runs that the Tides have allowed this year. John Means, however, gave up 6 runs in the first inning of his rehab start down there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, look, Kramer, I think it was in a post-game interview, and maybe I misheard it because I was on my phone at the same time, but I think I heard him say that he came into this season wanting to throw 250 innings, which is it's an absurd number.
Do you know who your manager is?
Right. Look, Kramer's a dog. Wells is a dog. For Wells to come out and struggle, you know, coming off the heels of 11 and 13 run performances by the Orioles, we're all coming out thinking we're going to sweep the Angels in our sleep. And then he comes out and struggles in the first 2 innings, gives up a long home run to Taylor Ward, and then a couple more runs in the second inning. And to then go out and buckle down and retire 14 in a row at the end of his outing, I don't know if he struck out the side in his last inning, but I think he had a couple strikeouts at least in his final inning of work. Look, you can't understate how important that is to struggle like that early and then lock in and figure it out. And we saw it with Kramer as well in his outing. He had 1 bad inning and the rest of it, he was nails. And mm-hmm. I think these two guys, especially, they may not be the most talented pitchers on the planet, but they're going to grind and they're going to give you everything they have every single start. And you can't ask for much more than that.
Nat in front of me.
I thought you were clapping for my take.
Beautiful. Oh, well done.
Thank you so much.
Well done. Cole Irvin. I mean, he's a 5 starter, right? And like, he gave the team 5 innings, 4 runs, kept them in a ball game, and they lost that ball game. They lost it 4-1, but he kept them in it. You know, it's not his fault that they lost the game. It's the fact that, what was that dude's name that came out and just absolutely stepped on their throats? The starting pitcher for
Alec Marsh.
Alec Marsh. Like everybody bragged about his stuff and how and like, but he just had to figure out. He figured it out all right against the Orioles. He looked like every bit of not just ace, but a Cy Young contender. The way he dominated that Orioles lineup, and the Orioles were overly aggressive in that game early in counts. A lot of weak contact and a lot of. They also hit 13 balls over 100 miles an hour. They got caught.
Yeah,
you know. So that's neither here nor there. Cole Irvin as a five starter. It's what stuck out to me. He had two different innings, the first inning and the fourth inning, where he retired the first two hitters and in pretty quick order, seven pitches or less, and then allowed multiple base runners to score in the fourth inning and led to a run because he walked the eight hitter and then, I'm sorry, walked the nine hitter and then gave up a triple to the leadoff hitter to score the fourth run. And then in the, and that's kind of his trend there because in the second inning, he walked the seven hitter. He gave up back-to-back singles to the eight and nine hitters, and that was followed by a two-run double to the leadoff hitter. He did not do his job in getting the bottom third of the order out, and that cost the Orioles because all four runs were scored because he did not get the bottom of the order out. And to me, that's an issue. Like, you're already the fifth starter. If you're going to keep your team in a ball game, you've got to be able to get the guys out that you're supposed to get out. And the seven, eight, nine hitters on the Kansas City Royals are guys that you should be able to get out. That was really my only gripe with him. He didn't walk a ton of guys or anything like that. He was, I think he threw 81 pitches, 55 of them were strikes. So he was around the strike zone all night. You know, it's just one of those things where you know that his days are numbered with when either Means or Bradish get back. He's going to be the first one out of the rotation. Just would have liked to have seen him pitch a little bit better than he did.
Yeah. And I know we're going to move on to the bullpen here. My only real take on Cole Irvin at this point is I miss the guy who came out in his first start of spring pumping 94 to 96. Now he's back around 91 to 93 with mm-hmm. his fastball. Because Cole Irvin turning into a Jordan Montgomery type would have been awesome. A huge development for the Orioles. But yeah, he's a five starter. What do you want? You know?
Yeah, he's a five starter. The good news is, you know, you have to imagine that the velocity is a little bit down because of how cold it is outside.
It could be, but it also, it was only really that one spring start that, you know, he had that velocity. It started to tick down a little more, even in the warmer weather.
Yeah, Dylan Tate, his first and his third outings, he threw some 89 mile an hour sinkers, but in his second outing, he got above 93 miles an hour with the sinker, but he didn't even get to a full 92. In the first outing. And then the third outing, he got above 93. But again, he sat a little bit lower the majority of that. But the bullpen overall, the unit has a 2.38 ERA. Danny Coulombe, Yennier Cano, Jacob Webb, Keegan Aiken, and Jonathan Heasley. They've combined for 13 appearances and 14 and two-thirds innings pitched. They've allowed just five hits while striking out 17 to just two walks. Craig Kimbrell, man, I felt so bad for that guy. Because he did his job, in my opinion, and he blew his first save. He had two strikeouts. He got a weak bloop pop-up that went 206 feet. A ball that travels 206 feet in the air should be called. It should be called by the left fielder. It wasn't. It dropped in for a base hit. And then the guy stole second. He stole third, scored on a sac fly. Nobody on the Orioles team is any good at holding runners on. I feel like I don't know if they teach this in the organization, but every reliever has a high leg kick from the stretch. And with guys on base, they just run on the Orioles at will. And I don't know like how they haven't stopped guys from doing it. I guess you're okay with guys stealing bases if it doesn't interrupt your pitcher's mechanics. But in close games, if you let guys on base and they're stealing bases and getting the runner to get in the scoring position, I feel like that's a problem.
Yeah. And then you've got The ripple effect of that is casual fans are thinking that Adley Rutschman can't throw out runners. And it's like, all right, well, look at who's on the mound and these jumps these guys are getting. He's rushing throws because he has to. And when you rush throws, they're not going to be as on target as you'd like them to be. But look, this bullpen as a whole, aside from the whole issue of holding runners on, Kimbrell got some flack from Orioles fans. Like, oh gosh, the Kimbrell, he blows his first save as an Oriole. This is going to be a disaster. What a bad signing. He was good.
Got the win, baby!
He was legitimately good in that outing and blew a tough luck one-run save. Like, that's... And then he comes out yesterday and dominates. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got four strikeouts in two innings.
Yeah, he's been great. Yennier Cano looks exceptional to start the year, just as he did last year. He doesn't have that 0.00 whip, but
yeah.
Hey, he's got a 0.00 ERA, and that's the number that really matters, baby.
He's got five strikeouts.
Five strikeouts in 4 1/3 innings. Bauman's been the only real weak spot for me. I do think that the injury to CNL Perez is going to hurt in the long run. It caused Jonathan Heasley to come up, although Heasley has not given up a base runner in two innings. Keegan Aiken looks like he has continued his strong spring. Jacob Webb in three innings has only allowed one base runner via a walk. Danny Coulombe has allowed just one base runner in three innings as well. He struck out four in his three innings of work. So look, the bullpen, I expected it to be a glaring weakness on this team. Maybe not glaring, but I expected it to be the weakness of this team. They have been a strong point so far this season. And you got to hope it continues. But I think losing a guy like CNL, who you could throw in just about any situation, that's going to hurt unless they maybe make a trade.
I think that they're going to trade for a reliever. I think that might be one of their big moves at the deadline. They might make a couple. But I think that they're definitely – and it might be sooner than later. It might not even take the deadline before they go out and get a reliever for this squad. You can join Glenn Clark and Griffin Bass tonight for the National Semifinal Games in that basketball tournament thing with a name we're not allowed to say in a commercial for, reasons. The GCR crew will be at Sports and Social Inside Live Casino and Hotel, watching and helping you bet the games. Plus, they'll have great giveaways, including live swag, baseball tickets, gift cards, and more. There's no better place to watch the games, just steps away from the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you can't make it tonight, you can join them Monday night for the national title game. Missing either would be madness.
There you go. Good delivery.
AL East wrap up. I'm going to run through these real quick if you don't mind, Ryan. I know you wrote them. You're cool if I just run through them real quick.
I was going to say, if you wanted me to do it because I wrote them, I can. But if you want to do it, I don't know.
I'll run through them real quick.
Do it.
Marcus Stroman shut out his former team through six innings, and Yusei Kikuchi returned the favor for 5 1/3. But the Jays bullpen was a better of the two as Ernie Clements' solo shot gave Toronto the lead in the seventh, and Yankees reliever Nick Birdie allowed a pair of ninth inning runs on wild pitches as the Jays beat the Yankees 3-0. The Rays stormed back and down 6-2 to take the lead thanks to a 5-run ninth inning, but closer Pete Fairbanks promptly walked the bases loaded without recording an out, and Jason Adams surrendered a walk-off grand slam to Ryan McMahon. The 3-5 Rays lose to the Rockies 10-7 and are in last place in the AL East. Your boy called that! Logan O'Hop hit a game-tying grand slam in the sixth inning, but the Red Sox hit five homers of their own, including a pair from Tyler O'Neill, as the Red Sox win their fifth game in a row, but lose Trevor Story to a shoulder injury. The Red Sox and Yankees are tied atop the AL East at 6-2, with the Orioles looming just a half game behind after the Red Sox beat the Angels 8-6.
You nailed that. I think sometimes, and that's why I offered to read them, I think sometimes it's hard to read through something quickly that someone else wrote if you don't know what words are coming next. You nailed it. Good work.
Thank you. I did read them this morning at 5:30 while I was adding my notes. I read them once over. Tyler O'Neill, by the way, is such a big signing for the Red Sox, or a big trade for the Red Sox. Like, that guy had a higher WAR than Bryce Harper a couple of years ago when Harper won the NL MVP. And he's got like three or four home runs already for the Red Sox. Like Tyler O'Neill, if he stays healthy, if he stays on the field, that dude is an absolute dog for them. Like, I love that pickup, even though I hate the Red Sox.
Shout out to me for grabbing Tyler O'Neill off of waivers after my league's fantasy draft as my fifth outfielder. He's been that looks good on me so far. But anyway, we're not here to talk about me.
Today's show also brought to you by AJ Michaels. What company makes your home more energy efficient, purifies your air, kills all viruses, and qualifies you for $6,000 in rebates? If you don't know the answer to this, then you have not been listening for the last 15 seconds. AJ Michaels Heating and Air Conditioning in Baltimore and Annapolis. So you can learn more about AJ Michaels at ajmichaels.com. Ryan, today's game, you go ahead.
What was that company that you were just talking about? Was it AJ Michaels?
AJ Michaels.
Oh, okay, cool. Just making sure it was AJ Michaels.
At ajmichaels.com. Ryan, Tyler Wells is going to make his second start of the year. Struggled early in his season debut last Sunday, as we talked about. But he retired last 14 batters he faced to finish his out and keep the O's in the game. The Pirates are going to have left-handed pitcher Bailey Falter, who gave up six runs in four innings to the Marlins in his lone start of the year. Lineup is not out yet. We can probably make a pretty accurate guess. I'll let you, since you wrote the line, I'll let you go ahead and give your take.
Yeah, so I've got Gunnar Henderson at shortstop. I think it's clear based on the start to this year that he is your leadoff hitter in either
everyday
matchup.
Player.
Yeah. Rutschman at catcher, Ryan Mountcastle at first, batting third, Santander in right field, batting fourth. I've got Westberg as your DH, batting fifth, Austin Hayes in left field, batting sixth, Cedric Mullins batting seventh in center field, Jorge Mateo at second base, batting eighth, and Ramon Arias batting ninth at the hot corner.
You could see either Westberg or Arias get the start of the game off. Both are struggling right now. Westberg, we talked about Mullins' struggles. He and Westberg are both hitting 182. You know, Westberg, Westberg's played every single game. He may get the day off at least to start. Or Ramon Arias, who got his first hit yesterday. The only reason I think Hyde would keep him in there is because maybe he wants to try and kind of ride that wave because he got his first hit. Maybe he'll get loosened up a little bit. I think you could see James McCann DH or catch. I think you can see McCann and Rutschman both in the lineup today.
I think that's possible. I consider that as well with the lefty on the mound. Mm-hmm. The other factor is, though, that would take away your DH, so Westberg or Arias could be on the bench. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, you're not going to start Tony Kemp against a lefty, most likely. So that's why I had them both in there. But I could see McCann being behind the plate today.
Yeah. What's on tap? After today's game, the Orioles conclude the series with Pittsburgh tomorrow afternoon with a 1:35 start and a matchup that has Dean Kramer going toe-to-toe with Marco Gonzalez. Gonzalez is 1-1 with a 5.95 ERA and four career starts against the Orioles. To find his last outing against the club, though, you have to go back to May of 2021 when Gonzalez started the first game of a doubleheader, picking up the win by going five innings and allowing two runs on three hits while striking out five and walking two. There were some current Orioles in that game. Cedric Mullins, Anthony Santander, Ryan Mountcastle, and Ramon Arias combined to go 1-for-10 with four strikeouts. Santander went over three in that game with three of those Ks. So don't be surprised to see Santander get the day off tomorrow in favor of Colton Cowser against a righty, because Santander has been in the lineup every day.
Marco Gonzalez is a lefty. I don't think Cowser's getting a start.
Marco Gonzalez, it said he was a righty. He's a lefty?
If it's the same Marco Gonzalez that was on the Mariners, yeah.
It is. I thought he was a righty.
Am I losing my mind? I'm pretty certain he's a lefty. Anyway, and that's part of why I think it's more likely that McCann is not in the lineup tonight, because I think the day game on Sunday, you probably get McCann against the lefty behind the plate.
Don't let me host a show anymore. He's a lefty.
I think, you know, Adley just DH'd on Wednesday and then had the day off on Thursday. I'm not sure he gets another DH on Saturday. I think it's a little more likely that we get McCann behind the plate tomorrow. But we'll see. You never know. Brandon Hyde likes to
we're creative with
his lineups.
I think it's certain that the lineup's going to be what you said the next 2 days. Dean Kramer in his career is 1-0 against the Pittsburgh Pirates, winning his lone start against him in August of 2022 when he went 6 1/3 shutout innings, allowing four hits, no walks, and striking out two. After Pittsburgh, the O's have off Monday as they travel to Boston for a three-game series before returning home to take on the Brewers in a three-game series that begins Friday night on Apple TV Plus. So you're hearing it here now that the Orioles are on Apple TV next Friday night. If you don't have Apple TV, find somebody that does and use their password to their name and password to log in. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to watch the game. If you've missed anything from Glenn Clark Radio this week, including conversations with Cal Ripken Jr., Mike Locksley, Buck Showalter, Daniel Jeremiah, and much more, you can find it all in the Glenn Clark Radio Week in Review feature today at PressBoxOnline.com. We're going to take about 5 minutes here, go over some of the comments that we have on the show today. And let's start it from the top. Randall Fracasse. O's need to figure out if they are paying. O's need to figure out if they are paying or trading Santander. Maybe it's time that O's consider a Hayes trade as well. I think I've been thinking, Ryan, that it was going to be Santander that gets traded, and now I'm thinking it's going to be Austin Hayes, because Austin Hayes is a free agent, I think, after this season, or is it next year?
Next year.
After next year.
I'm pretty certain that Santander is the only free agent after this year.
Yeah, he's a free agent after next year, and the Orioles aren't going to extend him. He wants an extension year. He's not going to get it. And I think that you could see maybe even two of the Orioles outfielders traded at some point. But I think Hayes is going to be traded as part of a package at the deadline. I could be very wrong, but I think that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I've also been on the trade Santander train for probably 3 years now. And I'm reconsidering it more each day because I think he is more valuable to this team as it currently stands than Austin Hayes is. I do think Santander has more trade value, but trading a player like Anthony Santander is not a move that teams in contention windows make. I think he's a guy you ride out to the end of the year, maybe consider trying to give him a little bit of an extension. But the more time goes by, the less I want the Orioles to trade Tony.
Yeah,
he's too likable.
Yeah, he's just way too likable. I mean, the guy taught himself English because he wanted to be able to do his own interviews.
Yeah, you know? Brandon Quinones is there with him for his post-game interviews, and like he just hangs out. He's just hanging around.
Yeah.
Santander doesn't need him. It's hard not to love Tony Taters.
It really is. Adeep Mahmood, the issue with Norby is that he's mainly a second baseman who hits from the right side. He doesn't have a ton of versatility and not a lefty. Mayo, I could see a September call-up with the setup of a 2025 Rookie of the Year. I don't understand when, where, and why it became a necessity to have a left-handed hitting infielder. The Orioles already have a left-handed hitting infielder in Gunnar Henderson. Why do you need more than one? And you're gonna have Kowser and Kerstad, potentially Stowers, and Santander, and Ryan O'Hearn that all hit from the left. Why does every freaking player have to be left-handed?
Because of the wall, Paul. Because of Baltimore.
F it!
I know. I'm joking.
Connor Norby hit 40. I almost dropped an F-bomb. He hit 40 freaking doubles last year. You think that they were all poolside? Dude is a complete hitter. He's a complete hitter. He can spray it all over the field. Good hitter, spray the ball all over the field. I'm sorry, I'm sure you're a great guy.
We're not arguing with you. We're arguing with the philosophy that this Orioles team has shown for the last three seasons in signing Rougned Odor, Adam Frazier, and Tony Kemp.
Yes, you have a bajillion left-handed hitting guys in your lineup. You can afford to play some right-handed hitters. Even in Camden Yards, you can do it. You play Austin Hayes every GD day, and he hit 16 home runs last year. You can afford to play Connor Norby because the bat plays. He's a complete hitter. He's only played second base. He's been playing him in corner outfield exclusively down in Norfolk this year. I just don't agree that he shouldn't be here because he doesn't hit left-handed. Like, let's get rid of that. No. Adeep Mahmood also said, the sad thing about the Oakland situation is that generations of Oakland fans are not going to be able to enjoy baseball due to their owner being a pansy. I don't know if their owner's a pansy or not. I know he sucks. You know, but I have no idea what the guy looks like. Maybe he's a 6'4" friggin' bodybuilder. I have no idea.
Nah, he looks like a loser.
Yeah, he looks like a John Angelos. Is he like a John Angelos type?
Not quite that much of a loser. Like he dresses better than John Angelos. I'll say that. He doesn't wear polos that accentuate his belly.
Well, that's good. That's good. The whole thing in Oakland, I think, is just – I cannot believe Major League Baseball is allowing it to happen. I cannot believe it.
It's
really
a bad situation all around.
It goes to show, like, because the owners want it because it's going to make them more money. Like, they want it, and nobody can step in. The owners run the league. Like, let's be honest here for a second. As much as we all hate Rob Manfred, he's the owner's little bitch boy. That's who he is. The owners run the show, and he just basically does what they say. He's just the face of it all.
Yeah.
Randall Fricasse, I said, O should consider upgrading center field in the offseason. Yeah, because the only other center fielder that they have – I didn't want to show that. The only other center fielder that they have in the organization that you can trust playing every day is Enrique Bradfield, and he just got drafted this past season. Like, that's not happening anytime soon. So, yeah. Kowser can play center field. I want somebody with a little bit more speed to play center field. You know,
I think Kowser would hold his own out there, but no one's matching Mullins defensively. Not in the near future, at least.
Yeah,
and that's where Mullins' value really is at this point. Is defense.
Yeah, and it's strictly tracking and catching fly balls and getting the balls other guys don't because the arm doesn't play,
which he's really good at.
He's really good at it. as evidenced yesterday with the diving catch. Randall also said Kramer will be the O sleeper. With better lineup, I expect Kramer to win his 13 games plus two more with a 15-win season. I mean, all these guys can win 15 games this year. I mean, the team is just stacked top to bottom, which is why we don't want to have guys like Ramon Arias and Tony Kemp on the roster.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's all it is, really.
All right. Randall, you are pushing this one, man. You are pushing this for months now. If O's would trade for another top-quality starter, Gilbert Williams-Lizardo, it would push Kramer down slot, making it easier for him to win the extra two games. Yeah, but then what are you going to do when Bradish and Means come back? I think that Kramer slides out more easily than he slots down and stays in the rotation. And if the Orioles need another starter at the deadline, they're going to do it. I don't think you're going to be able to get Gilbert or Williams. Lizardo, maybe. And even then, he might be the best of the three.
I have two thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. The first being, it'd be awesome to see Kramer win.
Yeah.
15 game winning those games. I don't care if Kramer gets the decision or if Danny Coulomb gets the decision or if Craig Kimbrell gets the decision after blowing a save in the ninth inning. It's about the Orioles winning those games. And
Felix Hernandez won a Cy Young in a year that he won 13 games.
Yeah. So, and I think people are becoming more receptive to like just kind of ignoring the win number. And of course it's cool to have, you know, yeah, winning, having a 20 game season is a huge accomplishment, right? It means that you're putting your team in a position to win. But if Kramer wins one of his 32 starts, you're going to take that all day. My other thought is, Randall, I agree with you that it would be great for the Orioles to trade for another top starter. You got to stop bringing up Gavin Williams, man. The Guardians are not trading Gavin Williams. He's too young, controllable, and talented. That's just not happening. I could see a situation where the Mariners part with Gilbert. I don't think it's likely. I could see the Marlins trading Lizardo. But I think the only reason he didn't mention Yuri Perez is because he's getting Tommy John surgery. Because it's normally Yuri Perez, Logan Gilbert, and Gavin Williams. Williams is not going to happen. I'm sorry. It's not.
Yeah, I think you're more likely to get a Shane Bieber, who is off. He was my Cy Young pick for the American League, just because I want to pick Corbin Burns and be a complete homer.
And he's off to a great start.
Yeah, Shane Bieber has been absolutely phenomenal.
I could see the Guardians being a trade fit, but I think a guy like Bieber is far more likely than a young, controllable Gavin Williams.
Guardians need some outfielders. I'm just saying. And then finally,
Randall just threw a comment in at the end, said one can always hope, LOL. I'm not trying to be combative with you, Randall. I'm with you. I think it's a good thing to have as many good starting pitchers as possible. I just don't see a scenario in which they trade that guy.
Rolling with Rock, the two relief pieces I'm ready to move on from is Ballman and Baker, be it MLB or AAA. I've just seen enough inconsistency from both of them, ready to try different pieces. Baker, he's got like a 19 ERA at AAA.
Yeah, he came into I think he had a 9-run lead and gave up 5 runs, including a grand slam in what should have been an easy ninth inning.
Dude, he had so much potential, but at the end of the day, the guy just sucks. He's not a good pitcher. And then Mike Bellman. See, this one is like, I love Mike Bellman. I loved him as a starter. I remember the no-hitter he threw against Harrisburg, where he was throwing 97 in the ninth inning. Like, I love Mike Bellman. He gives up a lot of home runs for a reliever. And like when he gave up a home run the other day, I was like, that's kind of what Mike Bellman does. Like he'll give you like an outing where he'll like strike out 3 or 4 guys that he faces. And then he'll give you an outing where he comes in, he walks a guy, and the next thing you know, he gives up a bomb. You know, and so like I think that he's a big league pitcher. I think he can be a quality, capable reliever. He was really good to start last year, and then he kind of like he fell apart. I think he ended the year with an ERA like in the mid to upper 3s, and that was with like his first 11 outings were scoreless. I'm so torn on him because I like him, but I do think that he gives up too many home runs for a reliever.
I agree with you. I think the one thing that is keeping Bauman on this roster in my eyes is who are you replacing him with, right? Mm-hmm. Baker would make sense to be the next man up. He's not the guy. I don't think that they think Wandis and Charles is ready, although I do think that he could be an X factor for this team down the stretch.
I do too.
But there's really no one beating down the door to come into this bullpen. I think it would have to be by way of a trade or a waiver claim. I think Bauman is on this roster for at least the next few months, for better or for worse.
I agree. And then absolute final comment that we can get to, because we're already 10 minutes over. My wife has to leave, so I got to watch the baby. Randall said Bieber could help this rotation. Bieber would help any rotation. He looks to be that dude again.
Was like, he have 20 strikeouts in 12 innings with a zero ERA?
Yeah, he is so good. He's so good. At least to start. He fell off a little bit last year, but that guy looks to be back and as good as ever. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Remember that if you're looking for some place to go have a great lunch and you're craving that classic New York deli experience, look no further than the new Atman's Deli in Baltimore's Harbor Point. Corned beef piled high, hand-rolled bagels, and something different, a bar. Atman's Harbor Point, a bar!
I didn't yell at that.
Atman's Harbor Point. Go to atmansdeli.com for daily specials. Rolling with Rock. Thanks to the stream, guys. Take care. You take care as well. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Without you, we don't have a show. Thank you to all of our loyal listeners, fans, viewers, anybody that tunes into the show, even if you hate us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Without you, we definitely don't have a show. Until next week, go O's. See ya!